We are in the book of Galatians, and the theme that we are saying in exploring this book is the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. And then on week one, our friend and Pastor Drew, he talked about, you know, the gospel of grace and peace. And I don't know about you guys, but boy, you know, in these days, I do need the grace and the peace of God every single day in my life. And I need the Holy Spirit to reveal that in a practical way every single day so that I'm not, you know, just once again taking for granted the amazing things that he has in store for my life. And then last week, Drew talked about a life transformed, and Paul was our example of a life transformed here in Galatians. So this week, I was like, you know, I'm supposed to be like doing Galatians 2, 1 to 10. And I have been reading and praying, you know, for the whole week and asking the Lord, Lord, would you guide and lead? And even before we go to Galatians chapter 2, I felt like God was asking us to remain a little bit on this topic of a transformed life, because the transformation that happened in Paul's life, it was just amazing. It was amazing. We read about it and we know it, you know, but as we go back and see it, what God did when he showed up to Paul in the road to Damascus, it was just amazing. You know, we know that Paul, he was in his, you know, zealous pursuit of the Christians. And on that day, you know, when he was in the road to Damascus, he had this amazing experience where Jesus himself appeared to him and forced him to his knees. And this personal experience that Paul had changed his life forever. In a moment, you know, Saul of Tarsus went from the persecutor of the church to Paul, the follower of Jesus Christ. You know, what happened in his life, it was like amazing. His mission now, instead of like, you know, persecuting the church and going deep into his Judaism that he was, now he is like bearing the name of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, to the world outside of the Jewish community. And as well, we know he appeared before like kings, and he also spoke for sure to the children of Israel. But it is amazing, and I want to read some of the verses that we see in the scripture about Paul's transformation. One of them, it's Philippians 1:21. Philippians 1:21, Paul said, For to me, Paul, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul, part of his transformation, he had this, you know, different lens now that he lived his life from. And his lens was like, you know, life for me now, it is about Jesus Christ. And if I die in this pursuit, it is gain because I'm going to see Jesus Christ as soon as I'm out of this world. I'm going to be present with the Lord. Just amazing. And then as we read also in Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. Christ is the one who lives in me. And this life that I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and he gave himself for me. And folks, this Paul's transformation that he shared with us, it's also part of our transformation, right? I have been, you know, for you and me to hear today, but also to identify with this truth that, you know what? I have been crucified with Christ. His death was my death. Christ now, he lives in me. And this life that I have now you know, I live it in my body for sure, but I live this life now by faith in the Son of God, and I know that He loves me, and I know that He gave Himself for me. My life is different. My life is transformed. Christ is in me. I'm living by faith and not by sight. I have someone marching, you know, in front of me. And He is powerful one. He is Jesus Christ Himself, the one that came from the dead and is alive, and He has a plan for this world. He is the one who lives inside of me, and He is the one that He is calling us to fellowship daily with Him. That was part of Paul's package of transformation. But guess what? That is part of our package of transformation. Think about where you are sitting right now. You have been crucified with Jesus Christ. That's great news for you to hear today. You no longer live. And we can stop for a moment and like go like, that's exactly, I am trying to live. And I should allow Christ, who now lives in me, to lead me. And not myself in the driver's seat anymore. But Christ, through His Holy Spirit, through God's Word, you know, leading me, directing me, guiding me, that's a much better plan. That's a redeemed plan. That's a new creation plan, part of the plan of God for Paul, but also for each one of us. How about this one? Philippians 3:7-8. Philippians 3:7-8. Paul said, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." Boy, that's good, isn't it? If I was a youth pastor, I would say, wow, that's dope. Dude, that's dope. That is so good, isn't it? I mean, think about it. You know, the things that were all about life for me, they are not anymore. The things that were all about gain for me, they are not anymore. I have decided to count them loss, comparing them to Christ. And I count everything loss for the excellence of gaining His knowledge on a daily basis. The knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things. I mean, think about that in our own lives. What a major transformation. Talking about someone all in, that was Paul. That's what Jesus wants from us as well. All in. What an exchange of values. What an exchange of beliefs. What an exchange of aspiration. What an exchange of goals. And you can speak to yourself, but I have done the math again and again and again. Race plan, Jesus plans for Ray. I'm telling you, He has given me the freedom to challenge Him on this one again and again and again. Like, Lord, I know what's better for my life. Okay, my child, go right ahead. Lord, I don't. I really don't. Here I am again. What I thought was it. I got it, and it's not. There is more to life than that. And I'm telling you, you know, the very thing in this life that we think it is the thing, the gain, the goal, if it's separated or apart from Jesus Christ, it's gonna fall short. It's gonna fall short. You're gonna embrace that and go like, wow, look where I got. To find out that you really haven't got anywhere. Because full realization and completion in our lives as a follower of Christ doesn't happen separately from Christ. It really doesn't. And I'm amazed of God's gentleness, just giving me the space to prove myself wrong, to prove that His plan for my life, His promises and His plan for my life, it's way better than what I can promise myself or anybody else can promise myself or this world can promise ourselves. His plan is like 1,000+ times 1,000 better than the best plan that we can come up with. And if you have a doubt about that, yeah, go ahead and challenge God. Go ahead and pair, you know, your best plan with God's plan for your life. And you will come to the conclusion as Paul, you know what? Those things that were the gain, the goal, the, you know, my direction in life, it's changing a little bit. It's changing a little bit. And then Paul said, you know, still in Philippians, he said, that I may know Him and know the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death. Why someone would want to be conformed to someone's death? Well, it's the death of the one that God resurrected. And when we conform ourselves to His death, we are conforming ourselves to the resurrection that we have as well, the new life that we have in Jesus Christ. In my last verse here, it's Philippians, still in Philippians, and it's still Paul's transformation. Chapter 3 still, verse 12 to 14 says this, just the humbleness of Paul. He said, you know, and this is later on in his life, and he said, not that I have already attained, and we're talking about the Apostle Paul, not Ray Sosa, right? The Apostle Paul. He says, not that I have already attained, or I am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of what? Of that for which Christ Jesus had also laid hold for me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forward to those things which are ahead. And I'm pressing toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Wow. What a way of living life. What a way of living life. He's like, you know, yes, there is baggage. And Paul had a big one. He had a big one, right? And we also have baggage that we carry on. We also have, you know, sometimes the scars of our past sins. But because of the blood of Jesus and the forgiveness that we have in Him, we can forget those things which are behind, and we can press forward. We can march forward towards the things that are ahead for you in Jesus Christ. And may I tell you this Sunday morning that, you know, in the world as crazy as this one that we are living today, there are, as part of plan of God for your life, there are things that God prepared beforehand for you, good works for you, ahead in your journey in Jesus Christ. In the every single day life, as part of His plan, you know, there are things that He wants to share with you and me that makes this life, you know, not like a survival thing that we are trying to do every day, but it gives us purpose to be here, purpose to be in the family that God placed us, purpose to be in the job that God allow you to have, purpose to be in the school where you go to, purpose to have Christ and to see the hand of Christ and the plan of Jesus Christ for your life unfold before your eyes so that you can live life like Paul enjoyed living, and we can live life, our lives in Christ and experiencing the blessings that he has for us as we are reaching forward. Hey, you know, what a great thing to know that we may not know what could happen in a year from now. We may not know what could happen in December, right? November. We do not know. I know someone who knows everything. I know someone who was the Alpha, the beginner of all things, and he is the only one who is the Omega. He started the plan. He holds the plan in the middle, and he will finish the plan that he has in store for his creation, for his planet, beautiful, that he created. Hey, we might not be in control, but God is. And that should bring peace to our hearts. That should make us like, you know what? Yeah, there is this thing here that it's bothering me. You know, it can be a year ago. It can be a month ago. It could be last night, you know, between you and your wife. I don't know. It could be like 10 years ago. But I am like forgetting those things which are behind, and I am like reaching forward. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. Thank you for your blood that cleansed me. And I am reaching forward to the mark that you have for my own life. I am pressing forward to the goal, to the prize that you have, the call of God in Jesus Christ. And if you would like me to, if you would allow me, last week, you know, Drew gave us an opportunity to share the fact that the life transformed that we read here in the Bible, the life transformed that we read in history, it doesn't belong only to the historical books. The life transformed, just like with the Apostle Paul, it continued to happen, you know, daily in our own lives. So here today, I know for sure that we have many lives, just like of the Apostle Paul, that were completely transformed by Jesus Christ. And if you would allow me, I would like to give an opportunity for us to, you know, share a little bit, like, you know, what's your story of life transformation? And just to help us a little bit, Drew, he put this slide here, if you can go to the next one, about your story. How was the gospel first revealed to you, such you end up coming to faith? Do you remember where you were in life? What were the circumstances? Who were the people that were involved? Your story is powerful, and people need to hear. So if you don't mind, I would like to take a little break here and open up for, and I know we probably, you know, we could hear each one's story for like, you know, 30 minutes to be a little more concise, but if we could just like, you know, in a few like words, just like, what's your story? Who are the people that God used? What was that turnaround? What was that main transformation that you experienced with Jesus Christ? I would love for us to take advantage of our time now and share a little bit of that. Who would be the brave one to start with? And it only takes one, and then it will be another one, and it could be, all right.
Yeah.
You got it? All right. The next one. Be.
Yeah, I'll kick it off. So it's actually my business partner today. He's my childhood best friend. And so when I was in high school, he tricked me and invited me up for the weekend, up to the mountains. He said, hey, let's take our mountain bikes. We're in the outdoor scene. We can go paddling. There's a river up there. And I got up there, and it was a church retreat. And I was like, dude, what's going on? And he thought it was the funniest thing. But it was the first time I'd ever heard the gospel, heard about Jesus, and I was just blown away. And ended up deciding to follow Jesus up that weekend. And so, and like I said, we're still friends today and business partners, and but he's a little tricky son of a gun.
Wow. Wow. That's awesome. Awesome. Who is next? Right there in the back. Kim?
So I grew up going to church all the time, very conservative church. I mean, it wasn't like Good News Is, and, you know, kind of everybody in the church kind of looked like my family sort of a thing. And not that that was in any way bad, but I think the gospel was spoken with some degree of frequency. And, you know, I went to a church camp and kind of made a profession kind of thing, but I was not changed. So I get to college and thought I knew what I wanted to do in college, which was largely drink beer. And so I pursued that pretty extensively. But just was not, I didn't have any kind of peace in my life. And there was a guy that lived upstairs from me, and he had a ton of peace. But back when I was in college, kind of the thing was to follow a guru. I don't know if anybody here old enough to remember those days, but people had gurus that they followed. And I thought Frank probably had a guru that he followed, and that's why he had so much peace in his life. And I think he knew that I didn't. Anyway, he, through a long process, I just told him one day that, I was going to quit college, didn't know what I was going to do. And he asked me to go and write down everything in my life that was important to me. And I literally grabbed a piece of paper and started writing. He goes, No, I want you to take your time, man. So a couple of weeks later, we got together, and he looked at this, and he said, Ken, I believe the church would tell you to be willing to give all of this up. I don't believe that. I think you have to give it all up. Don't be willing. You got to do it, man. And for me, as I looked back over that time, I really kind of felt like the church, I got what I would call an inoculation, a little bit of the real thing, but I didn't catch the whole, thing to keep me from, it kept me from getting the whole thing. And it's interesting that there's someone, and Frank at that time was not a regular church goer at all, but it took somebody to really kind of outside the box of the church to kind of reach into me and to lead me. I'm kind of a slow learner. I didn't catapult forward into Christ. I mean, I was changed at that time, but my evolution was very slow. It wasn't this, the next day I walked out and people wrote, gosh, Ken, you're totally different. I don't think that happened. I did begin to walk away from a lot of vain activities, I would say. Mm. And it was interesting, the girl I was dating at the time was Frank's little sister. Mm. And I had to go to her and just say, this is not about you. Mm. Which is a hard message for somebody on the other side of a relationship to hear. But, and I asked Frank, I said, can you help me with this? And he goes, I won't. This is part of the walk. You need to walk, man. And I want to help you walk, but I can't walk for you. So I just thought, I've always found it great that, I think that's one reason why I have affinity for places that are kind of different. Mm. And that try to function different, doing things like Alpha and stuff like that. That's just willing to reach in to lives that have not yet been fully exposed or fully immersed in the gospel.
Amen. Someone else? Maybe one of our ladies, girls. Thank you.
Well, it's football season, so it can be a football story. We were raised Catholic when we were living outside of Buffalo. Dad was transferred down here, and the neighbors across the street were Christians. So we went to Vacation Bible School with them and were exposed to the Word. And it was hard for me to be saved because I didn't want to give up the Catholic stuff because I had been through all those sacraments you could have until you were 13. And being the oldest, I watched football with my dad, and we watched the Brian Piccolo story with him one night. And that's when I realized if Ryan Piccolo could die at 26, that was really young. And that was the night that I trusted Christ.
Wow. That's great. Who's next?
If you didn't hear Leslie in the back, she was talking about the Brian Piccolo story. Brian's song is the name of that movie. Holy cow, that's a tearjerker. But it's a powerful story. All right, anyone else?
We have space for a few more. All right, Kyle right here.
Thanks. Yes.
Thank you, Drew.
Thank you.
And maybe one of our young people in the crowd here, if you would like to share, I would love to hear from you.
So I didn't grow up in the church, but as I was, you know, in my late teens, finishing high school and going into college, I had a serious guilt, sense of guilt and fear of death. And I just knew that there was a God. I didn't know anything about him or didn't understand one bit about Jesus. I didn't know who he was. But I definitely, when I got to school, when I got into college, I had a thirst for him and trying to understand the truth. And through a lot of cool circumstances, I was invited to an investigative Bible study where a guy took me and two other guys through the book of John. We just started reading it. He wasn't preaching at us or teaching. We were just reading it. We would ask some questions if we had them and try to understand what it said for ourselves, which I thought was great. I just dove into that. I ate it up. And a couple weeks into it, the other guys didn't show up. It was just me. And I think the leader sensed that I was ready, and he shared with me something called the bridge diagram. It's just this visual explanation of our separation from God because we're fallen, because of our sin. And again, that immediately resonated with me. He took me through the scriptures that proved that why I felt guilty, why I had a fear of death. Those were real things that I now see that God planted in me. But he showed me that Christ, the cross, through the cross, that he paid it all. And then if I trusted in him, that I'd be forgiven once and now and forever. And that night I did. It's when I was 18. And so God saved me through that Bible study and took hold of my life and slowly transformed me. And he still is. So that's my story.
Have you ever done like a Ray, like, okay, here's my plan. If I was to pursue it, here is God's plan.
Compare the two. Well, I'll tell you, I stopped making plans pretty years ago. I had all sorts of plans. Not one of them has ever come to be. So in terms of what I wanted or thought for my life or whatever, no, I live for the day. And I know that he's in charge of all of it. So,
yeah. Yeah. Someone else?
Or not Hernando. Who? I'm curious, as I walk to Hernando with the mic, does anybody else have the experience that I had where you felt like you were not looking for God, but he was looking for you? Mm-hmm. Did you have that experience? I was not looking for God. I was running from God.
So my wife Debbie and I both came to Christ the same night.
Wow.
We were in college at the time. We were living together, unmarried, but thinking about marriage, and I had made a friend through InterVarsity, and he just did life with me. He was a good friend. He did not go into condemning my lifestyle. He was just there for me. And so he was at our home, and he asked EE diagnostic questions. So we gave a good works answer. He explained the gospel, and both Debbie and I came to Christ that night. And the funniest thing about that night is he was a cubanazo, and if you know anything about Cubans, they're like loud and just, and he says, the angels in heaven are rejoicing over your conversion. praise the Lord. Now that you're a believer, though, we need to talk about your living arrangements. This is called fornication. Horny what? I gotta stop this. And so I moved out. They went to live with my mom until we got married. So just, Oh, yeah, that night, yeah. It was like, okay, Jose, I mean, this is not pleasing to God. We'll do it.
Wow. Wow.
Thanks, Ananda.
Anyone else?
Sit there. Sit.
So there's been a lot of talk about, like, you know, what your plans are, and I've heard this joke, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. I don't think the past tense of the word transform is used for me. I think it's, that's better, right? I think it's being transformed. I'm transforming, so just trying to get a little bit better each day.
You're transforming, and Jesus is the transformer.
Whoops.
So I grew up Catholic in the Catholic Church, did all the sacraments, but it really kind of never stuck with me. When I was married, my first marriage, we were married for about 5 years. I was going through a separation for like 2 years. Everything just kind of fell apart. We didn't have God in our marriage at all. And so we were just kind of following the winds of the world and all that. And during 2 years of separation, I remember being in my kitchen by myself, and I, you know, used all my available friends and resources to try and fix my marriage and all that. And finally, I just surrendered, you know, to ask God to just fix this. This is bigger than me. I can't do this anymore. And, I like to say there was this big ray of light that came into the room. It wasn't, but there was a very sincere desire to reconcile, which I did pursue, but it didn't come the way you might like to think it did. However, shortly thereafter, I met my wife, Deb, and we married pretty soon after that. But we both knew, we were both, you know, coming of faith at that point. I know her parents were praying for me, for my salvation, and we discovered a church that we both really plugged in. It's Perimeter Church. We were there for 21 years, and it's a big part of my spiritual transformation. For both of us. And that's my story.
Any other ladies maybe to share with us?
Reuben. It has like day.
Right here.
All the way up front.
Thank you.
Get my steps in today. It's good.
I'll give you the double whammy of young and woman. All right. So for those that don't know, my name's Jen Farron. I grew up Catholic, as several people have shared. And also a big part of my story is my two younger siblings have autism. So both are still living at home with my parents taking care of them 24/7. Kind of won't be able to live independently kind of situation. And so growing up, we went to church, we went to mass, I went to Catholic school, the whole nine yards, and just really kind of felt like, okay, what are we here for? Why are we here? Like, none of my friends wanted to go to mass. Like, not to say that I always wanted to go, but I'm like, if I'm gonna go, if I'm gonna spend my time, it's got to mean something. It's got to mean something to me. And so I just kind of really felt a lot of duty and obligation from my Catholic experience. And so going off to college, the first semester was like really, really lonely. Like I was having trouble making friends. Went to UGA from like a tiny 300-person high school. So just really kind of that first semester, like, is this really where I should be? And thankfully I met a couple of girls that ended up being my roommates for the rest of college. They were both in my wedding, like just really, really solid Christian women. that encouraged me to just pursue that, going to faith and it meaning something to people, like it meaning something to me. You know, no one's making us go to Wesley on Wednesday nights or Freshly on Mondays. Like, that's our choice now. And just discovering that community of believers who are really after, hey, what does God have for me? Who is God? How does that impact my life besides just on Sunday mornings? So
that's awesome. That's awesome. Anybody else?
Speak.
Anyone, any of our young people would like to say something about how has Jesus already from a young age made a difference in your life? I don't want to put pressure.
But right, I just want to make an observation. several of us have said, you know, I grew up Catholic. I grew up in church. I grew up this. My observation is big picture. We love our Catholic friends. And I think what you're saying as you share that story is I grew up in formal religion, right? And whether you grow up Catholic or Protestant, you can have the same experience in a Protestant church that just is a kind of checking the boxes of religious activity. And the transformation happens when you discover it's not about religious behavior, it's about a relationship. And that's what you guys are sharing. Is that accurate? I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I was 17 years old when, do you have a saying in English, like, we are all better when we fall from our high, you know, horse that we are riding on? Do you have a saying like that? I think that saying in Portuguese came from, you know, Paul's encounter with Jesus Christ, that he fall from his high horse that he was in. I don't know if he was in a horse or not, marching on, and he fall to his knees. And I was 17, and I was in my high horse, you know, of life, and I thought I had everything like lined up and plan A, plan B, you know, if plan A doesn't happen. And Jesus, you know, show up in my life, and he kind of like with Paul, you know, dropped me from my high horse that I was riding on, a young person full of excitement and with good, you know, intention as far as like my plans for the future. But God had a plan for my life. You know, my creator had a plan for my life. And that kind of started making, you know, that was something important for me. And he revealed himself to me through friends as well. I remember this one friend of mine, he invited me to fellowship of athletes. Oh my gosh, like 1,000 times. And I said, no, thank you. No, thank you. And I think you should stop because those people are going to brainwash you, you know, and soon, you know, you're not going to want to party with us and you know, do the things that we like as soccer players at that time. And he's like, no, right? I'm loving this. And I, you know, because I like it so much, I just wanted to share with you. And one day I decided to go, and it was nothing as I was judging them all over the place. I love it. And I came back, you know, once, and I came back twice. And I remember the fourth time I was sitting like the last one in the back. And for the first time in those four times that I went, I understood someone opening up God's word, sharing, and me understanding. And that was, for me, the work of God. That was the work of the Holy Spirit. And that day, I made my decision to, you know, open up my heart for Jesus Christ. And he saved me from the brainwash of this world, from the brainwash of a life without God, without Jesus Christ. So this is the thing, and in finishing the message here, this is the good news today. Because of Jesus Christ's finished work on the cross of Calvary, We have been transformed. We are being transformed. And we are going to be totally transformed. That is absolutely amazing. We have been transformed. He has given us a new beginning, a new understanding, new lens to which we see the world, right? We are being transformed as we, you know, offer ourselves to Him and open up our hearts and let the Holy Spirit, you know, transform us and grow us every single day. So we are being transformed. We are already transformed. We are part of the family of God. We are saved, going to heaven, but we are being sanctified in this world. We are being transformed day by day. We help each other in this process of sanctification and transformation. We encourage one another. We live God's word. We fail. Yes, we stand up and we confess and we go on. But there will be one day that we will see Him face to face. And we will be just like Him. We will get the body that our Savior Jesus Christ got when He rose from the dead. And then there will be no more sin, no more death, no more cry. A beginning, you know, and an enjoying of eternal life with our Lord forever. And that is really good news for us today. Life transformed, it's not a thing of the past. It's not a thing of the stories that we read in the Bible. It's something of the present. It's something to happen today at my house. It's something to happen tomorrow as we get up to go to work. Lord Jesus, here I am. I'm presenting myself to you. Would you work in my life today? You know, and as we do that, as we present ourselves to Him daily, He is working beautifully in each one of us. And we can see that in the mirror. And we can look in the mirror and say, hey, you out there, behind that image, Jesus is working in you. And you are becoming handsome, beautiful, every single day by the hands of Jesus Christ. And that is very good news for us today. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the power of the cross. And thank you so much, Lord, for the witnesses that we have of life transformed. I look back on my own life, and I see many, many who were transformed. And some of them, they are already like with you, Jesus, enjoying you face to face. But here we are in this world still, and we are being transformed, and we are waiting for the day where we were going to be completely transformed. So, Father, we ask you today, as we live our years here on earth, that we will treasure God's word, the leading of the Holy Spirit, the community of faith for encouragement. And Father, also help us, as Drew shared that first verse opening our service here today, may we share the good news of the transforming power of Christ with others, being that in our own family, being that with our friends, as the opportunities come, would you give us boldness to let others experience? Maybe it will be an invitation for 1,000 times. Maybe it will be just a willingness. Can I pray for you? Maybe it will be an embrace and a smile. Maybe we'll be showing up for someone in the worst time of their lives when they do not deserve you showing up. I don't know. how and where, but Lord, would you use us? As you use those that served you in our lives, would you use us? Would you transform someone that we know, Father, today or this month or this year, next year? Father, we are the light of the world. You chose to use us to share God's word. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we present ourselves to you and to your plan. Thank you for your plan for our lives. And thank you that you are working something beautiful in each one of us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray and we thank you. Amen, amen, and amen.